This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. For a second straight trading day, the high-flying stock market lost its wings. The Dow plunged almost 1,200 points today, a more than 4.5% fall to finish below the 25,000 mark and erasing a lot of our retirement savings. It was a stomach-churning day for investors almost from the start, but the real sell-off hit in the last hour of trading when the Dow seemed to go into a free fall, off 1,600 points at one point. All this happening in the face of a strong economy. So what's behind it, and should we be worried? Our business correspondent Jolene Kent with some perspective now.
When the Dow plunged below 25,000 today, it wiped out all of this year's gains. The bad news on Wall Street started with good news on Main Street. A strong January labor report last week showing 200,000 jobs added, the unemployment rate staying at a 17-year low, and hourly wages jumping nearly 3%.
We know unemployment is low. We know more jobs are being created. We know wages are going up. So what that means is that the Federal Reserve may start to raise interest rates, and that is going to take money out of the stock market.
Investors worry a strong economy means rising inflation and questions on how much the new Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, will raise interest rates. His predecessor, Janet Yellen, warned about the rising price of stocks just yesterday.
But it is a source of some concern that asset valuations are so high.
Today's sell-off was the biggest point drop ever, but the percentage decline of 4.6% is far from record-breaking.
These are probably the biggest one-day declines that we've seen in about a decade.
In President Trump's first year in office, the Dow soared more than 30%.
Everybody thought the market was going to keep going up, but it was never going to go down. And so days like this catch people off guard.
Financial analysts say don't panic.
For the long-term investor, you would welcome opportunities like this because this correction shakes the trees a little bit, brings prices back down, makes stocks, you know, more reasonable levels to invest in.
To get a sense of what might happen tomorrow, investors will be looking at what happens in European and Asian markets overnight. Those markets have already sold off this week, and if they continue, we may need to brace ourselves for a rocky week ahead. Lester.
All right, Jolene Kent with us tonight. Thank you. And as stocks plunge, President Trump was in Ohio touting the economy and new tax laws. Late today, he returned to Washington, where he's facing another ticking clock. Just 3 days left for lawmakers to cut a deal to fund the government or face another shutdown. NBC News Chief White House Correspondent Hallie Jackson has more.
What about the Dow, sir? The Dow dropped.
From President Trump, no response late today to questions about the Dow drop. Walking into the White House after a Cincinnati road trip to talk taxes.
Oh, I love the state of Ohio.
But coverage of that speech cut short as markets took a tumble. Until now, the surging stock market has been one of the president's favorite frequent talking points.
We did, in fact, break 25,000, very substantially break it very easily. So I guess our new number is 30,000.
The stock market is shattering one record after another.
You look at the stock market at an all-time high.
A White House spokesman acknowledges today markets do fluctuate in the short term, but adds the fundamentals of this economy are very strong.
Previous presidents have talked about the stock market, but they've been reluctant to really embrace it the way President Trump has because they're worried that if they talk about the gains, then they own politically the downside when the Dow sells off.
All of it comes as Washington tiptoes toward yet another potential government shutdown, a deadline Thursday to keep the lights on. With no deal right now on spending, no compromise on immigration, and no give from the White House, even after a new bipartisan proposal today. It would protect so-called dreamers and provide money to study border security, but not for a border wall itself. To the White House, that's a non-starter.
Not having a border wall is the same thing as Senator McCain going to bed at night and locking his front door, but leaving all the windows open.
So even with that shutdown deadline this week, the president's looking back at what happened last week at his State of the Union when Democrats sat stone-faced in the audience.
Un-American. Somebody said treasonous. I mean, yeah, I guess why not? You know, can we call that treason? Why not?
That comment raising some eyebrows. Treason is a crime punishable by death. Those remarks, of course, coming after the president in that State of the Union made that call for unity and bipartisanship. Lester.
All right. Hallie Jackson at the White House. Thank you. Tonight, federal investigators confirmed that a railway signaling system was down for maintenance when an Amtrak train crashed into a freight train in South Carolina. Two people were killed. More than 100 people were injured. Now Amtrak faces questions about safety and whether new technology could have prevented yet another crash. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is at the crash site.
Tonight, the National Transportation Safety Board is trying to find out whether human error caused the violent crash that injured 116 people and killed an Amtrak conductor and engineer.
Sorry, guys.
Rich Kemp says his brother Michael, the engineer, had sought therapy after previous minor accidents and even feared for his life.
Well, he told me, he says, one of these times something's going to happen and I'm not going to walk away from it.
Amtrak's safety record is now drawing new scrutiny after the fourth deadly crash in 2 months. Last week, a train carrying Republican members of Congress to a retreat hit a truck.
Are we willing to say that there's a systemic issue with Amtrak? No, we're not.
Amtrak train 91 was heading from New York to Miami. In South Carolina, investigators say a rail switch was in the wrong position, forcing the passenger train onto a sidetrack where it barreled into a parked CSX freight train. Amtrak's president blamed CSX, saying the company's signal system was down and that CSX dispatchers were manually routing trains.
I've never seen anything in my entire life like this.
In many tracks, Amtrak has installed GPS technology known as Positive Train Control, or PTC, to stop crashes like these. By the end of this year, most of the nation's railroads are projected to have PTC, but Congress has allowed rail companies to apply for a 2-year extension.
If we had an operating positive train control system, it would have prevented this accident.
CSX has not addressed the cause of the crash, but has offered condolences to the victims' families. Late today, the NTSB confirmed that the signal system here was down because the rail company was upgrading it to install PTC, the very system that could have prevented this. Lester.
Gabe Gutierrez at the crash scene for us. Thank you. Now to the new intrigue in one of Hollywood's biggest mysteries. What happened the night legendary actress Natalie Wood drowned? After first saying her husband, actor Robert Wagner, is considered a person of interest, police said today Wagner's story doesn't add up. We get the latest from NBC's Blake McCoy in Los Angeles.
Yes, of course, we want to talk to Robert Wagner. You bet.
It's been 7 years since investigators reopened the Natalie Wood murder investigation. Today, holding a news conference for the first time since, they questioned then-husband Robert Wagner's account.
We told the original investigators, and we portrayed since then really don't add up to what we found.
Witnesses have come forward who report hearing the Hollywood couple arguing on the Splendor yacht the night she drowned, Thanksgiving weekend 1981. The coroner noted bruising on Wood's body. Also on board, actor Christopher Walken and the captain, Dennis Davern, whose story has changed over the years but points the finger at Wagner.
Vern suggests, hey, we should turn on the light to look for her. He says, no. Instead, he takes Vern up to the top of the boat, starts plying him with alcohol for the next hour and a half, getting him drunk while they wait around to see what happens.
Wagner turns 88 this week and has long denied involvement. He's refusing new interviews.
You know, he can say, no, I don't want to talk to you. So, and that's his right. We understand that.
Investigators call this their last shot.
Law enforcement's really going to be challenged. Memories have changed. Witnesses have died. There's a lot of history right now.
After 37 years, a race against time to solve one of Hollywood's biggest mysteries. Blake McCoy, NBC News, Los Angeles.
We're following some breaking news right now. Let's get the details from NBC's Steve Patterson.
There's breaking news out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. One sheriff's deputy is dead, an 11-year veteran, father of 7-year-old twins, in a shootout. At least 4 other people were shot and in the hospital. It happened at about 4 Central outside an apartment complex. Police say at this point, all suspects are accounted for. This is the 3rd fatal shooting involving Colorado area law enforcement in a little over a month. Now back to Lester in New York.
We're T-minus 4 days until opening ceremony in South Korea. And as Team USA begins to arrive in Pyeongchang, there's an unusual deep freeze settling in there. Just 3 degrees today and feels like minus 4. That kind of cold could affect the athletes and the people coming to see the action. NBC's Miguel Almaguer is in South Korea and in the elements for us tonight.
At this Winter Olympics, Pyeongchang could take the gold for cold.
It's freezing here.
It's pretty cold.
On track to become the most frigid games in decades, temperatures have already plummeted to -9 degrees Fahrenheit this winter. Punishing wind chills can make it feel even colder.
This American flag right there is what heats up.
Troy Murphy and Team USA will wear special battery-heated jackets during Friday's opening ceremony.
I've definitely sent a few texts home, like reiterating how cold it's going to be.
Inside this stadium, an estimated 35,000 spectators, including world leaders, will spend 3 hours in the dangerous conditions. To combat hypothermia, volunteers will hand out blankets. Organizers have set up heat lamps and wind shields.
I've heard that some of foreign guests canceled the ticket as it we are advertised it will be very cold.
The bone-chilling freeze, funneled by a blast of cold air from Siberia, the Olympic Park by the coast, whipped by ocean winds, and in the mountains, where tens of thousands will gather at 7 open-air venues, it can be 10 degrees colder.
I think the athletes are pretty well insulated for the hypothermia issue, but for somebody out watching a sport, it can occur as soon as 45 minutes.
It's so cold out here. We've received emergency alerts on our cell phones warning of a cold wave. 100,000 spectators should arrive here every day. Many of them will stand outside for hours. And this weather isn't helping athletes who are trying to stay healthy. The flu epidemic is also sweeping right through this country. Lester.
All right, Miguel, I'll be joining you shortly and we'll bring the layers. And a program note, our coverage from Pyeongchang begins Thursday night here on Nightly News. We certainly hope you'll join us for that. We're back with more right after this. We're back now with a closer look at your taxes. With that new tax law taking effect, there are changes coming to your paycheck starting this month. And experts say there are specific things you should be on the lookout for to make sure you're getting the right amount. NBC's Tom Costello has those details for us.
This is the month, say experts, that we should all be checking our paychecks to see if our employers are withholding too much or not enough tax. On a typical check, look at your federal withholding, not Social Security and not Medicare.
What you want to see is that your federal withholding went down, your paycheck went up, and when that didn't happen, you need to talk to your human resources department or your payroll specialist.
Employers have until February 15th to adjust withholdings based on the new tax law passed in December. Employers use a W-4 to calculate how many allowances or dependents you are claiming. That hasn't changed.
We expect anywhere from, you know, $50, $60 up through several hundred dollars of increased paychecks with this.
Three examples. The family of four earning $120,000 a year would see their pay go up $122 every 2 weeks. A couple making $80,000 a year would see an extra $66 per check, while a single person earning $40,000 would get an extra $36 per check.
Look at your pay stub. Make sure that the withholding is appropriate for your situation. Sometimes family situations change during the course of the year, and we forget to adjust that withholding.
However, and this is important, there are many more factors that go into calculating your total end-of-year tax bill for 2018. To clear up any confusion, we're talking about the 2018 tax year, not 2017. In 2 weeks, the IRS will roll out an online calculator to help you double-check your employer's withholding math. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Coming up, massive pileup, a jaw-dropping bird's-eye view of a major mess on the highway. In a Michigan courtroom today, disgraced former USA Gymnastics Dr. Larry Nassar was sentenced to another 40 to 125 years in prison. This was the third and final sentencing hearing for Nassar, who was accused of sexually abusing at least 265 girls and women in his care. Several investigations continue, and USA Gymnastics, the U.S. Olympic Committee, Michigan State University, and the FBI all face questions about whether they could have done more to stop Nassar sooner. Take a look at this massive pileup that shut down a major highway in Missouri. Firefighters shared this drone video showing some 60 vehicles involved in chain reaction crashes in snowy, sloppy conditions. At least one person was killed. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.